First of all, I want to offer my condolences to the Agapitos who are here and the whole family, the loss of Brigida, Mami Brigida, what do I call it? Lola Brigida, Lola, Mami. It's always a painful loss when we lose a loved one. So we join you in praying for her and giving thanks to God for her. 92, almost 93 years, a great gift, but it's still a big loss. I'm also aware that there are many people here who didn't come for the funeral mass of Brigida. It came just because you come to mass on Friday. So we have two things going on here at the same time. We have a funeral mass for our sister, our neighbor, and also our regular mass. So we're kind of combining. I'm using the mass prayers for a funeral, but the readings are from today, Friday of the 12th week. But the Word of God, which was not chosen, these scriptures were not chosen for a funeral. The Word of God is inexhaustible and can speak to us deeply on any day and on any occasion. So here we have a reading from the book of Genesis about the continued journey of Abraham, our father in faith. And then in the gospel, we have Jesus healing a leper. As I say, these readings are not chosen for funerals, and they would never probably be chosen for a funeral, but here we are. So let's reflect a little bit on these passages from the Word of God. Now, we have all week been following Abraham, and we know that God chose him. He's the first. God chose him personally, called him, and Abraham responded with faith. Here it is 25 years later, and God keeps saying the same thing. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you many descendants. I'm going to give you this land. Abraham's 100 years old by now, so it doesn't seem very likely. And his wife is 90 years old, so almost the age of Brigida at her death. We don't expect older people to have children. So it's a case of impossibility, human impossibility. We skipped over the story of Ishmael. If you're following this passage, these sections from Genesis, the story of Ishmael was a human attempt to fulfill God's promise. It wasn't from God, it was from especially from Sarah. She had a slave girl, and she said, well, maybe we can have children through the slave girl. So she gave her slave girl Hagar to Abraham, and she bore a child, Ishmael. That's why in this reading, when God says you're going to be a great nation, Abraham says, well, he must be talking about Ishmael because it's the only son I have. And God says, no, I'm not talking about Ishmael. I'm talking about Isaac. Well, no one ever heard of Isaac. He's not even conceived yet. But he's in the mind of God as the chosen son of Abraham. So what we see here is the difference between human impossibility and divine possibility. Between the limitations of our understanding, a human mind, and the vast, the limitless plan of God. He can see things that have not happened. He knows people who have not even been conceived yet. And he knows each one of us. So that's the story of the first reading. Human impossibility overcome by divine power. In the gospel, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount. For the last two weeks, we've been pondering the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gone up on the mountain and he speaks as the new Moses, the new lawgiver, teaching the new law which surpasses and transcends the old law. And then he comes down from the mountain. That's where this gospel starts. Jesus came down from the mountain, which echoes the story of Moses when he went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Remember what happened when he came down the mountain? The people had fallen into depravity. They were worshiping the golden calf. they were having a big party with their idol, and Moses, from that lofty encounter with God, comes down into the mess of the human situation. And Moses lost his temper that time, remember? threw the tablets down, ruined the whole thing, I haven't even started yet. Well, here's Jesus coming down the mountain, the new Moses. He comes down with the new law. He walks into the mess of the human situation, and the very first person he encounters is a leper. So it's the encounter of, again, a divine possibility with human impossibility. A leper in the time of Jesus in biblical times was the worst. That was just the worst disease, disfiguring and disqualifying. A person who was a leper had to stay away from everybody and pretty much was a hopeless case. We don't have anything exactly like that, but since we're in the middle of a pandemic, people treat COVID-19 as a kind of leprosy. You know, everybody's afraid of COVID-19. If anyone gets it, they have to be quarantined forever and ever. And even after they recover, people are afraid to talk to them. And that's the craziness of our times, that COVID-19 has become the leprosy, the popular leprosy of the time. It's not exactly the same, of course, because most people recover. But and leprosy wasn't, at that time, there was no cure. Anyway, it's similar in this sense. You don't go anywhere near a person with COVID-19. You don't touch them. You don't go to their house. No, it's complete banishment. And that's what lepers experienced in the time of Jesus. So the leper approaches Jesus, which is already a violation of the law. He says, "If you wish, Lord, you can make me clean." A very humble acknowledgement that Jesus can overcome human impossibility. You can make me clean if you want to. You have the power to get beyond what is impossible for the rest of us. And Jesus, the first thing he does is the last thing anyone else would do. He touches the man. No one touched a leper. He didn't even think of it. It was unthinkable. He touched him. That's the first thing he does before he even says anything. And then he says, "I will do it. Be made clean." Immediate cleansing, immediate cure. So it's again human impossibility being met by divine power. And I think this is something to reflect on in light of a loved one who has died. For us, death is the great impossibility. There's no getting around it, there's no stopping it, there's no getting past it. When we die, we die. And this is why it's such a moment of grief when we lose someone who we've loved, a mother, a grandmother, a friend, a relative. So that's the end. It just stops there. It's a horrible contradiction of everything that we like and love in life. In fact, a lot of people have such an aversion to death that they never think about it at all. And a lot of people have a great fear of being in the presence of a dead body, or even in the remains of someone who's died. Now, Brigida was cremated, I think, pretty much right after she died. She was cremated immediately. But a lot of people, it's not at all uncommon for people to see an urn like this, and they don't even want to enter the chapel. They don't want to have anything to do with it. It's a kind of phobia. That's not uncommon. It's a kind of automatic resistance to this to having to face this impossibility. And it is painful. Even aside from that fear that people have, it's painful. But, and this is where faith comes in, this is where the power of God comes in, human impossibility is not the last word. Just like the infertility of Abraham and Sarah, that was not the last word. The case of the leper, who's doomed to be isolated until he dies, that's not the last word. A new power enters the scene. That's the power of God. And that's the power that we turn to when we pray for our sister Brigida. For us, it's impossible. We can't do anything. All we can do is mourn. But it's not impossible for God. For God, Brigida is not dead. She's alive. Her life transcends this world. It goes beyond this world. In fact, it's much better than this world. If it were not so, what would we be doing praying for her? What would we be doing offering a mass for her? What good would it do? It sounds like an empty, and some people think it's just an empty ritual to deal with the emotions of grief. It's not an empty ritual. A mass applies the power of God to the impossibility of man. A mass brings the sacrifice of Jesus Christ right into our midst and makes it available to us. The infinite grace of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is brought right in front of us. That's why I think it's always beautiful to put the remains of the dead before the altar. The altar is the place where grace comes from heaven and descends on earth and floods us, gives us new life. A funeral mass is a time of grieving, it's a time of saying goodbye, it's a time of consoling one another, but it's also a time of calling on the God of life. Lord, have mercy. Lord, give life to our loved one who has passed from this world. And we confess, we testify that the life that Jesus came to give us is not just life in this world. It's life without end, eternal life. We pray for Brigida that she have the fullness of this gift. We never know what happens. We don't know fully what happens after death, but we know that there can be a time of purification, a time of a process of being prepared to enter fully into God's glory. We pray for her that she that process will be complete and she can enjoy eternal life with God, with the angels and saints, with her loved ones, her husband, maybe brothers and sisters and others who she loved in this world. We pray that she have the fullness of joy and peace. It's the same message for all of us. Whether we're Abraham facing the impossibility of family life, whether we're a leper or a COVID-19 patient facing the impossibility of illnesses, or whether we're facing the seemingly insurmountable barrier of death, the answer is the same, the power of God. The unstoppable, limitless, beautiful power of God. The reason why we turn to God in prayer, the reason why we come to this chapel for Mass, the reason why we keep calling out to God is because that's where our hope lies. We don't have hope in ourselves, not lasting hope. We might have a hopeful disposition or we might have a good day, but real hope comes from putting our trust in God. So our hope for eternal life for Brigida, our hope for the consolation for the members of the family, our hope for all of us and whatever impossibility we might be facing comes from putting our trust in God. We learn it from Abraham, our father in faith. We learn it from this leper who says, if you want to cure me, you can do so, and discovers that is what God wants. We learn it from one another as we continue our journey of faith. Let us trust in God and encourage one another to grow in trust in God.